This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com. حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وخليله، بلغ الرسالة وأدى الأمانة ونصح الأمة، تركهم على المحجة البيضاء ليلها كنهارها لا يزيغ عنها إلا هالك، صلوات ربي وسلامه عليه. عباد الله، يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. وقال تعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد. All praise is due to Allah. We seek His guidance and His forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the whispering of our desires. Whom Allah guides, no one can misguide, and whom He allows to be misled, no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah alone, having no partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His slave and His messenger and His perfect worshipper. To proceed, Abdullah ibn Zubair radiallahu anhu was the first child to be born in Medina, which would mean that he would be 10 years old when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. He's the son of Asma, the daughter of Abu Bakr, and Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awwam. He was the Faris of Quraysh. He was the warrior of Quraysh, and he was one of its worshippers. His adventurous nature, his character, his strength, his piety are legendary. And he would eventually challenge the Umayyads for the Khilafah. And his stronghold, his headquarters, would be in Mecca. And Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf would be unleashed on Abdullah ibn Zubair. And Al-Hajjaj, this great tyrannical figure, who did not care if he spilt the blood of Sahaba for the purpose of the throne of Banu Umayyah, he besieged Abdullah ibn Zubair at Mecca, and he casted boulders from catapults at the Kaaba. And the Kaaba was damaged. Abdullah ibn Zubair would be killed by Al-Hajjaj and crucified at the Kaaba. Now, this event would create ripple effects throughout the Muslim world. And it began a discussion that was being held for the first time. It was a discussion about Qadr. Does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know things are going to happen before they happen? Or does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala simply find out like we find out? And so a group of people from Iraq, they said, when we come, because did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know that the Kaaba was going to be attacked? And if so, why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not defend it like He defended when Abraha attacked the Kaaba? And so you can imagine, especially these communities that had newly become Muslim, had only been Muslim for 10 or 15 or 20 years, Al-Iraq and Persia, and even Al-Sham. And so a group from Iraq, they said, when we come to Hajj, we're going to ask the first companion that we see. And they happened to come across Abdullah ibn Umar. And so they said, we are a people from Iraq. And some people there are saying, there is no Qadr. There is no pre-written destiny. Everything just unfolds as it does. And so Abdullah ibn Umar said, if you go back to them, then tell them that they are free from me and I am free from them. And that if one of them were to donate an entire mountain in gold, it would not be accepted from them until they believe in Qadr. And then he narrates to them the hadith that was narrated by his father, Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, who famously says, بينما نحن جلوس عند رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ذات يوم اطلع علينا رجل شديد بياض الثياب شديد السواد الشعر. It's the famous hadith of Jibreel. And included in the hadith of Jibreel is Jibreel asking the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, what is Iman? And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentions the six pillars of Iman that we know. And he said in it, وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره, that you believe in destiny, the good of it and the bad of it. And in another version, he says, حلوه ومره, the sweet of it and the bitter of it. And so I wanted to briefly talk about destiny and what our belief in destiny entails. The scholars mention four pillars when it comes to destiny. Number one, the first pillar is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ, he says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is between the heavens and the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in another verse he says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ, to Allah belongs what is in, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala belongs the keys to the unseen. لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ, no one knows them except for him. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ, and Allah knows what is in the land and he knows what is in the sea. وَمَا تَسْقُطُ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا, and there is no leaf that falls except that he knows it. وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ, and not one grain of sand that shifts in the dark remote places of this earth. وَلَا رَطْبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ, and not a dry leaf or a ripe leaf except that it is in a book that is recorded. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge is perfect. He knows the unseen. In fact, the scholars say about Allah, يَعْلَمُ مَا كَانَ وَمَا يَكُونُ وَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ لَوْ كَانَ كَيْفَ يَكُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that has happened, the past. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that will happen, the future. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything that didn't happen. If it happened, how it would happen. You and I made millions of choices in our lives. And we are the results of billions and trillions of choices. In fact, every choice that any human being ever took, and any animal ever took, had to have been taken exactly like that for us to be in this moment in time right now. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what all of those alternative realities would have been. What if you didn't go to the university that you went to? What if your parents never met? What if you were born 100 years earlier, 100 years later? What if you weren't the gender that you are? What if you weren't the skin tone, the height, the weight? Every possible scenario that your life could have been, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows it perfectly. And so when we say we believe in destiny, we believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's perfect knowledge. Number two, the second aspect is that everything is written. Everything is written. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that when the pen was created, and it was the first thing that was created, it was commanded to write everything until the Day of Judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote everything. Musa says, قَالَ عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي فِي كِتَابٍ لَا يَضِلُّ رَبِّي وَلَا يَنْسَى. Everything is written in a book with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my Lord is never in error, nor does my Lord ever forget. And so everything is written. Now, an interesting question that comes up is, with everything being written, do we have the ability to change our destiny? And so there's, very briefly, a number of writings that happen. And some writings change, and some writings don't change. There is, number one, one writing that happened 50,000 years before the heavens and earth was created. That was when the pen was written. That's in a lawh al-mahfuz. That does not change. That's the final draft. But then there's a second writing that happens, and that happens every lifetime. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith in Bukhari and Muslim that when your soul is breathed into the womb of your mother, the angel that writes down is commanded to write, فَيُكْتَبُ he's commanded to write, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ فَيَنْفُخُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ وَيُؤْمَرُ بِكِتَابِ أَجْلِهِ وَرِزْقِهِ وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. He's commanded to write, whether he is going to be his lifespan, his rizq, his actions, وَعَمَلِهِ وَشَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ, whether he will be of the people of paradise or the people of the hellfire. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he used to say, "Oh Allah, if you wrote me as someone who is shaqi, then write me, erase it, and write me as someone who's sa'id. If you wrote me as someone who's of the people of the hellfire, then write me as someone who's of the people of paradise." And so that is alterable. It can change. The third is a writing that happens every year, and that is the writing that happens on Laylatul Qadr. Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rather, he says, فِيهَا يُفْرَقُ كُلُّ أَمْرٍ حَكِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, every matter of wisdom is ordained on Laylatul Qadr. And the fourth is a writing that happens every day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كُلِّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ. Every day Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is decreeing a matter. So these are the four writings that happen. Three of those writings, the third, the second, and the third, and the fourth, they all are able to be changed by our actions. And people sometimes they ask, and the Sahaba themselves asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam the question. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, should we not then just rely on what has been written for us? Should we just rely on what's been written?" And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "I'malu fakullu muyassar lima khuliqa lah." He said, "No, work, because everyone shall have what they have been written for, facilitated for them." And Ibn al-Qayyim argues about this, because some people they'll say, "Du'a, does it change qadr? Does it affect qadr at all when everything is written?" And Ibn al-Qayyim says, "How could a person make that argument when you don't make that argument around anything else in your life? Does anybody say, if my education is written for me, then why should I go to school? Does anybody say, if my rizq is written for me, then why should I work? Does anybody say, if having children is written for me, why should I get married? Shouldn't I just stay at home and rely upon what is written?" We don't take that attitude with anything else in our life. So why would we do it when it comes to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why would we do it with regards to dua? The argument then truly is that dua is one of the most effective means to change qadr. And our good deeds change our qadr. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, whoever wants in Bukhari, whoever wants for their lifespan to be expended, for their lifespan to be extended, and for their rizq to be increased, then let them connect the ties of kinship. And so these are things that affect the writings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in your final draft, when He wrote it, He also wrote that you would take the means to acquire those benefits that you want. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He wrote that you would achieve such and such, He also wrote that you would take the means to achieve such and such, and one of the greatest means that you can take is dua. The third pillar, and then I'll wrap up with the fourth inshaAllah ta'ala briefly, the third pillar is will, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills everything into existence. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will, there are two types of will. There's what's called al-mashi'ah al-kawniyah and al-mashi'ah al-shar'iyah. There is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's universal will, and there's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's legislative will. There are things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills and He allows to happen, even if they're not good. People ask the question, does God will for bad things to happen? Yes, God wills for bad things to happen, because otherwise you are saying that that bad will was something that was outside of the will of God, or it was something that overrided the will of God, and both of those are impossible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for crimes to happen. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills for crimes to happen, but He doesn't love those crimes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala لا يرضى لعباده الكفر. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love that people disbelieve in Him, but He allows for people to disbelieve in Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love that murder happen, that pillaging happens, that rape happens, that theft happens. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not love these things, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows for these things because He made this world have certain causes and effects. And if you take advantage of the cause, then the effect is going to happen. And otherwise, there would be no point to free will. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you guidance and me, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us what would happen if we follow that guidance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also informs us the path of the evildoers and where that leads to. وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, and we guided them to the two paths. So that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's legislative will and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's universal will. And the last thing that they mention as a pillar is the idea that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only created us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created your actions.
وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created your actions as well. We ask Allah to allow us to hear the speech and follow the best of it. أَقُولُ مَا سِمِعْتُمْ مُسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah. There are many, many benefits to belief in Qadr, belief in destiny. But I think just one that I can end with is that I believe that this belief in Qadr has saved the Muslim world billions of dollars, if not more, in prescription medication. When you have a person whose family member dies, and you go to them, and they are experiencing loss and grief, but one thing we're not experiencing, if we believe in destiny, is that if I had only altered this, if I only hadn't had an argument with them before they left, if I only hadn't done and changed. And the Prophet ﷺ says, don't say if. Because if I do this, lo, it opens up the playground for shaytan. Rather you say, لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذْ وَلِلَّهِ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ الْأَجْلٍ مُسَمَّى فَاصْبِرُوا وَاحْتَسِبُوا. Everything has an appointed time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They weren't going to live an extra day, and they weren't going to be. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ رُوحَ الْقُدُسْ نَفَثَ فِي رُوعِي. He says that the Holy Spirit cast into my soul, أَنَّهُ لَن تَمُوتَ نَفْسٌ حَتَّى تَسْتَكْمِلَ رِزْقَهَا وَأَجَلَهَا. That no soul shall pass until it completes its lifespan and completes its rizq. These things are written with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we become comfortable with loss. We become comfortable with the loss of wealth. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Not only with the greatest losses, but pain, sadness, sorrow. We understand that that is written for us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, and I'll end with this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says to Ibn Abbas, he's teaching this message to children. Ibn Abbas is a young man at the time, and he says, وَعَلَّمَ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ. If the entire world were to gather to benefit you, they wouldn't be able to benefit you with something other than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for you. And if the entire world were to gather to harm you, they wouldn't be able to harm you with anything more than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already written for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also says to him, وَعَلَمْ أَنَّمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئُكَ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبُكَ. And know that whatever touches you is never going to miss you. And whatever misses you was never going to touch you. And so as we go through the trials and tests of life, and as we see other people go through those trials as well, we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to grant us an iman that is rasikh, an iman that is cemented in our hearts, that allows us to navigate the difficulties that this test comes with, that we be of those who are from the sabireen and those who meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala having believed in Him and believed in destiny. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to have mercy on our dead. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us our prayers. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring freedom to our brothers and sisters in Palestine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring relief to our brothers and sisters in Lebanon and in Syria and in Sudan and all over the Muslim world in China. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa ma qarrab ilayha wa min qawlin wa amal wa na'udhu bika min an-nar wa ma qarrab ilayha min qawlin wa amal. Allahumma ati nufusana taqwaha, zakkiha anta khayru man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. Allahumma aqsim lana min khashyatika ma tuhulu bihi baynana wa bayna معصيتك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أبقيتنا واجعله الوارث منا رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم ارحم المسلمين المستضعفين في كل مكان اللهم ارحمك بأهلنا في فلسطين وسائر بلاد المسلمين في السودان والصين اللهم كلهم معين يوم قل المعين وكلهم ناصر يوم قل الناصر اللهم انصرهم نصرا مؤزرا اللهم عليك بأعدائك الذين يقاتلون أولياءك ويصدون عن سبيلك اللهم انزل عليهم بأسك ورزقك إله الحق اللهم اجعل شأنهم في سفال وأمرهم في وبال اللهم اجعلهم غنيمة للإسلام والمسلمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وقوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة وقد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
استوى يرحمنا الله الله أكبر